Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday. So we'll call this meeting to order now. And Carrie, if you wanted to start with the roll call.
Thank you, Lori. Just a reminder, please state your name when making a motion for first and seconds today so we can have this for our it helps with documentation. So when I announce your name, please respond present and your organization. I'm going to go ahead and just name off the people who are in our audience today. We have Matt Chips from American Structure Point, Braden Downing from BF&S, Dakota Reese from NDOT, Jake Rivera Hernandez from NDOT, Sristi Roy Chowdhury from NDOT, and Brian Aldridge from Stantec. We also have Pam Drock, Syed Shakusadeh, myself, Amir Vershoshi, Jennifer Scott, Matt Schrieffer, and Lorenzo Marsh as staff that are present today. And now I will do the attendance for online. Doug Boom.
Present.
You. Karen Brooks.
Karen Brooks, Eastern Sales Rehabilitation Center.
Thanks. Lori Van Hook.
With the Evansville Area Trails Coalition.
Steve Wilson.
BF&S Civil Engineers.
Thanks. Steve Raleigh.
Yeah, Warrick County Economic Development.
Tanya Higdon.
Hi, Tanya Higdon, with Federal Highway Administration, Kentucky Division Office.
Is there anyone that I've missed? Looks like we have everyone. Thank you.
Okay, next we'll move on to the approval of the minutes. Would we have anybody to make a motion to approve? Anyone?
Second the motion?
Who was the first? Are you the first to motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve.
That's Steve Wilson, Stephen Wilson from BF&S. Do I have a second?
Second.
And that's you want to state your name just for the minutes?
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to old business with Pam and NDOT. Pam first.
I think we should take the vote, Lori, first.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I think the delay just has thrown me off.
Oh, I know.
All right, so let's take a vote to approve. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, thank you. Let's move on to item number three, Pam.
All right, we'll start the project update report with the City of Evansville projects. The Walnut Street Phase 3, it's under construction and they're continuing work on the final phases. Asphalt base is being installed to Martin Luther King Boulevard and they anticipate an August completion for construction activities. Third Street project, notice to proceed with design has been issued to VS and a survey is underway. For Vandenberg County projects, Oak Hill Road. Oh, I'm sorry, there's no updates for Vandenberg County this month. Telephone Road in Warrick County. No change there, but it is under construction and the last update was water main relocation was complete. Epworth Road Phase 1. Environmental document, public involvement certification was received and the final CE or categorical exclusion was submitted for approval on May 29th. Right-of-way engineering is ongoing and they anticipate it to be complete by July of 2025. Epworth Road Phase 2, initial Section 106 coordination with the archaeologists and historian is underway. Oak Grove Phase 4 public involvement meeting is being scheduled for early August. A preliminary date is August 7th. Moving over to Kentucky and City of Henderson projects, Green River Road sidewalk. The bid opening was held on May 8th. Two bids were received with a low bid of $406,843.97 was received from KMAC. Pre-construction meeting was held on June 20th, 2025, and notice to proceed was issued with a start date of July 7th. The Wathen Lane construction work, it's continuing with the route being open to local traffic only. Work is concentrating on the last section from US 60 to Hillmont Drive. That's it for the LPA projects in Kentucky. I'll turn it over to NDOT.
All right, please bear with me. Got a few to go through. First one is B42876. These are projects along US 41, pedestrian bridge and intersection improvement. Projects have been complete. Next one is R41410, pavement placement. Pavement replacement along US 41 moved into phase 4, alternating closures on US 41 and Lloyd ramps to finalize reconstruction, working on waterline on Fairs Avenue ahead of pavement replacement on west side of Fairs. R44898, intersection improvements along State Route 66. Stockwell has been open to traffic. Contractor is working on pre-phase work in the center of the Lloyd and Burkhart. South side eastbound lane of the Lloyd will be closed soon for approximately 4 months. During this closure, right turns onto and off of the Lloyd from Burkhart and Cross Point will periodically be restricted. R42287 includes bridge replacement, intersection improvements, rubblized PCCP and HMA overlay at Mount Vernon Road north of the Lloyd will be closed on 7-7 for 14 days. Benny Camp Road north of the Lloyd will be closed on 7-14 for 30 days. The beams have been set at T. Coppell and Carpenter Creek bridges. Work on the walls at the CSX bridge is ongoing. Next one is R44971, which is a slide correction on State Route 66 west of US 41. Pre-final has been held, finalizing a few minor things. Construction has been completed. Next one is B44147, substructure repair and rehab on State Route 62 over Harper Ditch. Project has been awarded to EMB Paving. Next one is R45152, pavement replacement and intersection improvements on State Route 62 at Wabash Avenue and St. Joseph Avenue. We have been receiving utility work plans. Final field check was held and working through a couple of utility conflicts. Next one is B44508. Bridge replacement on US 41 over Pond Flat Ditch. Continued work on stage 2, working through utility conflicts and draft environmental document. R44013, intersection improvement with added turn lanes on Morgan Avenue and Bakey Road and at Stockwell. Bridge deck overlay on State Route 62 over Harper Ditch. Working on stage 3. On those right of way to be a driving point on for this contract. Preliminary field check was held on May 27th for the bridge deck overlay on this contract. R45274, rebelization and HMA overlay on Boonville New Harmony Road, stage 2 development and process. R44499 is an intersection improvement on US 41. Continue work on stage 2 and geotechnical work. Continue working on an environmental document. R44500, intersection improvements and ADA sidewalk at State Route 66 on University Parkway and State Route 57 Green River Road. Roundabout type has been decided on the normal roadabout, a normal style with a little offset. State Route 66 will have an initial fill check to be scheduled soon. R39923 is the next one. Intersection improvement on US 41 at Lynch Road. Discussion talking about placing limits of the project for drainage purposes. And the last one for me is R45795, intersection improvement on US 41 at Covert, waiting on the notice to proceed to get started with design. Thank you.
I'll take a deep breath after that. Any questions for Pam or NDOT? Okay, moving on, new business.
Pam? Lori is here. I just wanted to announce we have another person, Mike O'Daniel, in the audience from EREP. So just for minutes. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, any questions? Okay, new business.
So we have some TIP modifications for your information purposes. We've processed modifications to 4 contracts that were currently in the TIP. The modifications involved revising funding and or moving the fiscal year for the funding. And again, they're just for informational purposes. Next, we have some TIP amendments to present to the committee for your approval. The amendments are the addition of a project to the NDOT program. It's on State Route 62. It's over Pigeon Creek Bridge. It's a bridge rehabilitation or repair project, adding the project for preliminary engineering in 2026 and construction in 2028. The second project was an increase in the cost estimate that was beyond the amount that qualified for a modification. So because it was a larger amount that was increased, it needs to be in an amendment. Although the cost of the project is not large, it is a bridge rehabilitation or repair at various locations throughout the Vincennes District. And the construction cost in 2026 increased from $1 million to $2
million. Ooh. Any questions for Pam before we call for a vote? Can we get a motion to approve? Don't be shy.
Motion to.
And who is this? Was that Steve Raleigh?
Yep.
Okay. A second, please.
Stephen Wilson, second the motion.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye, and any opposed? Hearing none, let's move on.
Okay, next we have an announcement about our participation plan. The MPO is in the process of updating the participation plan. We do an update every 4 to 5 years. The elements that are involved in the participation plan is guided by federal legislation, and the document is used to ensure that the participation outreach and involvement in transportation planning and relative activities involves a broad scope of individuals and populations, as well as a variety of methods to provide that outreach. The MPO's plan, the goals are to improve and increase the opportunity for involvement and consultation, improve access to the planning process, and to encourage participation that will result in a transportation planning and decisions that reflect the needs of the community. We will be posting a 45-day public comment period to begin July 21st, and that will run through September 4th. The draft document will be available in our office between 8 and 4 p.m. normal business hours. PDF document will also, the document will also be available on the website, of course. Please take a look at the document. If you have any questions or comments, don't hesitate to reach out and we will do our best to answer your questions. Any questions received or comments received will be reviewed and presented to the committee at the September 11th meeting, and we will be bringing forth a request for approval of the document at the September 11th Policy Committee meeting.
Pam, is this going to be sent out to the committee via email with a link so that we're able to help share it?
Absolutely, we can do that.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, thank you. Any questions for Pam? Other than the one that I just had. All right, moving on to Jennifer.
Thank you. The Title VI Implementation Plan and Limited English Proficiency Plan identifies the actions of the MPO to ensure that the organization conducts all programs, policies, and activities without regard to race, color, or national origin. The plan also identifies the procedures for filing a complaint in the case an individual feels they have been subjected to discrimination due to the actions of the MPO. The plan is updated annually with the annual goals and accomplishments report, current Title VI policy statement, current notification to the public of their rights under Title VI, required updates from FHWA and FTA, and any suggested edits from NDOT and KYTC. Approximately every 5 years, a full update of the plan is completed to include new demographic data, charts, and maps, and reflect any changes in policies and programs made by the MPO since the last update. Today, the MPO is requesting your approval and adoption of the full update to the Title VI Implementation Plan and Limited English Proficiency Plan. The final version can be found on the MPO website. The last full update of the plan was adopted on July 6th of 2022. And as mentioned, the next full update will be in approximately 5 years. We're asking for your approval of this document today.
I'm calling for a motion to approve.
Steve Rowley, motion to approve.
And a second, please.
Stephen Wilson, second.
Thank you. All in favor, saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Boy, we're really sleepy after the holiday weekend, aren't we? All right.
Tough
so, okay, moving on. Matt, with the draft transportation safety policy.
Thank you. Within your packet is that draft transportation safety policy. We've developed this to establish a regional approach for prioritizing safety in transportation planning and project development. Just like our complete streets policy, we're hopeful that this safety policy will be used to consider, will be considered in project development and when applying for federal funds through the MPO call for projects application process. So again, it's similar to the complete streets policy. We want to make sure that when LPAs apply for funding through our office, we're considering safety as part of the project development as well. So this is a draft policy, and so we're looking for your review and any comments that you might have. We will be bringing this back for approval to both the technical committee and policy committee at the September meeting.
Okay, wonderful. Any questions for Matt? Okay, mobility hubs.
All right. Second item I have is mobility hubs. So this is a concept that we first considered when we worked with the city of Evansville to apply for their EPA community change grant. Even though we did not get that grant, we would like to continue this idea of these mobility hubs. What it entails is identifying locations of concentrations of transportation options. So areas where you might have a METS transfer station, the bike share program exists, or a combination thereof, or a bike route trail, or multiple bus routes. So we've identified 15 different mobility hubs that we would like to produce some maps for and share on our website to help people get around the city of Evansville. The 15 hubs are on the map, as you can see. On the back of the map is a very in-depth and maybe confusing matrix of how you get from one mobility hub to another using multiple forms of transportation, but particularly how to get from one area to another on a bus route. It also identifies areas that include Metz Micro or have access to a bike share location. So just a cool concept, we think, to help provide information to people about how best to get around Evansville. In addition to that, we've included the first sample that we're working on of Franklin Street. So each one of these 15 mobility hubs will have a detailed map specifically on what is in and around that area and how you can access transportation, whether that be a transit route or a bike share station or a bike route. So again, on the back of the Franklin Street map is how you get from Franklin Street mobility hub to any of the other hubs, and some detailed information on the bus route timing and what is available at this Franklin Street hub. So the goal is to, you know, get people more aware of what's available throughout the city of Evansville on getting from one place to the other using a variety of transportation options. So look forward for more of that. We just wanted to get a sample out there. It's a long process, but I think it'll be very useful when we're all said and done. And when it is said and done, we'll have all this stuff up on our website.
Great, thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Okay, so moving on to other business, which I'm really excited to learn about.
Sorry,
hold on, let me
ask a question. Is there any plan on this mobility hub description, et cetera, to get this out to EVSC, particularly the high schools, to kind of communicate that to the students?
Yeah,
how to get around, because young people don't always know where to go for information, and their school is the best place to kind of introduce them to how to get the information they need to maybe get a job or get to where they need to go.
Yep, great point. And we've worked with EVSC. We've communicated with the EVSC on different options already with the Metz Micro program and different things. So this is another great opportunity to let the students know what's available. Thanks for the question.
And who is that question from?
Michael O'Daniel.
Michael O'Daniel. Okay, thank you, Michael.
Lori, we have two people that Nick Hall is one that was on. I think he's driving, so I didn't notice him earlier. Camille Robinson popped on a little bit a while ago as well. Camille, what is what organization are you with?
Get my camera going. I'm sorry. Hello, everyone. Thank you for the warm welcome, and I apologize. I was a few minutes late joining. I was speaking with someone in my office, but I work with Tanya. I'm with the Federal Highway Administration Kentucky Division Office, and I am the acting planning and environmental coordinator. So this is my first time joining you all, and looking forward to working with you. And we're a non-voting participant, if there's anything that we could help you with or advise you on, we'll be glad to help. Thank you.
Thank you, Camille. It's good to see you on here.
Okay. Moving on with the multimodal connectivity plan with Brian Aldrich.
I'd like to thank Matt for teeing it up there, because going from talking about mobility and helping people in Evansville move around safely, what a better segue than to move into the multimodal connectivity plan for the Lloyd Expressway. Appreciate the opportunity. Can everybody see that okay? Oh, sorry. Oh, my apologies. I'll move up.
We can hear you. They can.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. And if you recall, many, many months ago, I introduced this study before we were under contract with NDOT. And we've been under contract now since back in the spring. And so we've been in our due diligence phase, and wanted to use the opportunity today to really unleash our public engagement phase. And so we'll talk a little bit about some of the existing conditions and kind of what our work has been up to this point in that due diligence phase. And start off with Lori, just you know, kudos to the Trails Coalition for the development of the Trails Master Plan. I mean, what an excellent document, and kudos to all the agencies involved in the development of that. And that is certainly one plan that we have been reviewing that is of utmost interest to us as we're looking at similar types of conceptual improvements to help Evansville move safely and more efficiently. Got a few things, and I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm going to try to squeeze about 30 minutes worth of material into 10 or 15 minutes, but that's just how I like to roll, unfortunately. But today is really kind of a teaser. So we have a public meeting scheduled for July 22nd, and I'm going to ask for your help repeatedly throughout this presentation to help us spread the word. If you haven't seen a press release from NDOT already, hopefully you will see that soon, but that has gone out earlier this week. But we'll be meeting at Harrison High School. And I'll have some information up in the presentation a little bit later on, again, the evening of July 22nd. And that is our first true public engagement opportunity. But there's going to be plenty more along the way. We'll talk about those as we kind of go through our agenda today. Now, one of the things we like to do at Stantec is always start off a meeting with a safety moment. And I thought a good one this time of year is the acronym DRIVE, as we're all preparing for summer vacations. And I just got off of a lengthy road trip myself. So the acronym was very much apropos for what I was planning to do for both my travel to and from our destination. D stands for do a walk around, pretty simple. Walk around, make sure tires are in good shape, nothing hanging from the vehicle. Review road conditions. If you're traveling on the interstate right now, I mean, obviously around Evansville, there's a whole lot of activity going on. If you're not using Waze or another app every day, I don't know what to tell you, but you should be doing that because it's definitely time well spent before you start your travels. Am I fit for duty? Am I not fatigued, rested, et cetera, making sure that you're able to make the trip? Vehicle familiarization. I've joked with Syed quite a bit about the fact that I've got twins that are now permitted drivers. And every time I get in my vehicle, my mirrors are out of whack. And, you know, I have to make adjustments every time I sit in my truck. So, you know, making sure you do that and you're comfortable in your vehicle. And finally, developing an emergency plan. What do you do if something does go wrong? Are you prepared for that with an emergency kit, et cetera? So just remember the acronym DRIVE. So moving on to the multimodal connectivity plan. Again, our intent is for this to be a community-driven plan development. We want this to truly be developed by the community. And so as part of that effort, again, public engagement is hugely important. So we'll talk about, like I said earlier, many different opportunities that we're going to have available over the conduct of the study to reach out to the public. Now, every study has to have a study area. So the study area that we're showing here is basically from 41 on the west side over to Epworth in Warrick County. And then from south to north, it's essentially from Covert up to Morgan Avenue. Now, that being said, we may have improvement concepts that absolutely go beyond that boundary, but this is what we're referring to as our study focus area for potential candidate improvements and strategies to help serve our more vulnerable road users. In terms of our draft study goals and objectives, let's start off with our goals. Just simply stated, to develop an actionable multimodal connectivity plan addressing deficiencies affecting non-motorized travel. So really simple as that. And ultimately, our goal is to improve safety. So everything you've heard today talking about micromobility, mobility hubs, and the development of the trails plan. Our goals are very much in synergy with everything that's been discussed today. It's all about improving safety and providing users opportunities that they don't have today. In terms of our objectives, a few of the things that basically spell out our scope of work: assessing the condition of the existing network, evaluating demand for all modes of travel. I'm going to show a few slides a little bit later on some of the tools that we're using to help assess multimodal demand within that study area, engaging with the public and stakeholders, assessing the potential to achieve modal shift. So it's not just about serving people that are currently walking or bicycling throughout the study area or trying to access transit or other opportunities for travel. It's about also trying to attract more choice users. So folks that are maybe using a vehicle now for making especially short trips, are there opportunities here that we can build infrastructure or implement other strategies to convince them, you know what, that trip's short enough that you really should consider taking a bicycle or making a walk instead. And then finally, it's a recommendation or a series of both short-term and long-term projects and strategies that can ultimately be implemented over time. Short term can be as simple as we've got lots of intersections where we don't have crosswalks. So it can be as simple as making recommendations at that level. Long term strategies can be obviously much more resource intensive. So things that are going to have to be programmed for funding to implement more significant improvements. You know, a Walnut Street project like we just heard from Pam talking about could be a perfect example of one of those more long term solutions. So in terms of the public engagement, I've talked about that quite a bit already, but we have absolutely tried to beg, borrow, and steal as much branding and goodwill as we can from existing projects that are going on in the community. Everybody's obviously very well aware of the Lloyd for You project, as it's been around for quite some time. And thankfully, Stantec had the good fortune to be involved in the planning of that study or that project as well. But we are using a new website that's just recently launched, thelloydforall.com. And so the branding you can see here with our logo, again, very much synergistic with what was there for the Lloyd for You project already. So that, like I said, that website's gone live. You're going to see a lot more information populated in the weeks ahead. We don't want to put all of our public information out there just yet for that first meeting, but roughly on or about July 22nd or the day after, all the materials that are going to be presented at that public meeting will be made available on the project website. Again, it's our intent to engage the public where they are, not forcing them to come to us. So, you know, we realize a lot of the more vulnerable road users may not be willing to attend a public meeting, but we hope to engage them digitally in that case so that they're still able to provide their voice and we hear their input. So public meetings, just overall, we're going to have three rounds of public engagement that are really kind of focused on those three public actual meetings. The first is, like I said already, July 22nd. Our focus is, it's just really a listening exercise for us. So again, our focus up to this point has been on existing conditions, data collection. Can't thank Amir and the MPO enough for all the information that they have shared with us up to this point. But now it's our opportunity to share some of that information with the public and give them the opportunity to give us feedback. Tell us where you see the issues are in the study area. What are the obstacles that are affecting your ability to walk or bicycle safely throughout the study area? What are your obstacles to safe travel? Meeting number two, haven't scheduled this one yet, of course, but early fall is what we're projecting. And that would be to present some of our preliminary concepts. So taking the feedback and the work that we've done to this point, developing strategies and solutions and presenting those and getting feedback from the public and other stakeholders. Are we on the right track? Are these the right ideas? Do you have other ideas akin to what we are coming up with at that point? Getting that opportunity for feedback. And then finally, late winter, early 2026, we're projecting to have our third project or our third public meeting. And that would be really focusing on preliminary recommendations and prioritization. So we'll not just come up with a plan, but where should we focus our attention first? If we've got limited resources to spend, if we're going to go after grant funding opportunities, et cetera, where do we want to focus that attention to try to get the best bang for the buck and best serve the community as much as we can? So this is just a little information about that first public meeting. Again, 5:30 to 7 p.m. We will have a very brief presentation at about 6 p.m. that evening. We like to do that simply because we know we're going to get lots of the same types of questions all night long. We'll present kind of what's on display around the room, what the exhibit boards are showing, and then we'll talk a little bit about their opportunities for input. There will be a mapping exercise. I mentioned that earlier. We also have already online on the website a digital mapping exercise where anyone can go and provide us input on where they see issues affecting safe travel within that study area. But we will do the same on large plotted paper maps at the public meeting, giving folks opportunities to put some stickers on maps to tell us where they see not only problems, but where they also see good examples of where the community is served today. So hopefully we're going to see some green dots on Walnut, right? I mean, that's what we're hoping for here. I've already mentioned the brief presentation, and like I said earlier, all the information that's going to be presented on July 22nd will absolutely be on the website and bilingual soon after the public meeting. This is just a teaser again. This is what the website looks like. Again, you've seen some of that branding already with the Lloyd for All logo. I want to kind of just very quickly go through some really quick exhibits, some of the information that we're going to be presenting. It's really not going to work well at this scale, but some of the things that we're going to show at the public meeting. We've got lots of study area mapping. This particular map is just showing a lot of the existing network, transit routes, some of the larger destinations or origins for bicycle and pedestrian traffic. So things you'll see on here, obviously, University of Evansville, Wasserman Woods, et cetera. So things like that. The next map is, this is actually the expanded one that's going to show a little bit more of the transportation network with transit routes, et cetera. Some of the planned improvements that are already out there that we're aware of. These are drafts. Obviously, they're going to look a little bit better blown up on an exhibit board and mounted, but just to give you an idea of some of the information that's going to be made available. Some of our work up to this point has been really, like I said earlier, our due diligence phase of trying to inventory what's out there. So looking at the existing intersections, predominantly the major intersections, right? We're not necessarily focusing on every single residential street, but the major intersections, the signalized intersections, what do we have at those locations? Do we have crosswalks? Do we have sidewalks on all four quadrants? Are there ADA accessible ramps? So we're absolutely trying to inventory that information. So as we're looking at future candidate improvements, are we addressing the existing deficiencies that are present throughout the study area? Hugely important to this has been evaluation of the existing crash history. So the next couple of exhibits here are going to show crash history. This is a heat map of the crash history for vehicular crashes for the period of 2019 through 2023. No surprise, we see quite a bit of heat along the intersections on the Lloyd, on Green River Road, that's kind of going north-south right there in the middle, the heart of our study area. Hopefully, as we're all expecting, when the Lloyd for You project is completed, we're going to see a lot less heat on the Lloyd. And hopefully that some of the candidate solutions we're going to come up with as part of this study are also going to help address some of the issues on some of the other corridors. The next map is showing a similar heat map, but this is just bicycle and pedestrian crashes. Again, through 2019 through 2023. One of the things I was just talking to Amir about before the meeting started is that we see quite a bit of heat really around University of Evansville and Walnut Street. But again, this is showing data before the first phase of Walnut Street was completed. So we're actually working on right now trying to get 2024 data to see how has that improved safety for bicyclists and pedestrians in that area. But the really one of two areas obviously really show up on this map, US 41. We've already heard about a design project at the Covert Avenue intersection coming up. And then Green River Road, south of the Lloyd Expressway in particular, we see a blob of orange and red where there's a high crash density for bicyclists and pedestrians. Things like that really stand out to us. Those are locations that are very much of interest to us that we are investigating as we speak for potential improvements. The next graphic is just going to show just an overall summary of all the bicycle and ped crashes within the entire study area over that 5-year period. Oh, excuse me, this is just 21 through 23. 35 bicycle crashes, 33 pedestrian crashes. Note that two pedestrian crashes resulted in fatalities. So when anybody asks why we were performing this study, it really gets to the heart of what, if you've heard of Vision Zero, we're not happy if we see anything above zero in that category or in the serious injury category. So that's absolutely our goal, is to try to get those to zero. I mentioned earlier some of the data that we're working with for some big data providers. And one of these is a company called Replica, and they provide estimates of demand for not just vehicular travel, but also for bicyclists and pedestrians. Now, I can't qualify this enough. These are absolutely estimates. They're not counts. They're not based on actual counts, but they do try to ground truth that with some actual count data. So this kind of gives us an idea of maybe not necessarily how many individuals are making these trips each day, but what the potential is, or what we see as the potential for users to use these facilities. And the darker purple lines are going to show where we've got higher levels of activity. This first map is obviously showing pedestrian trips. And so Walnut through U of E obviously shows up quite hot. Green River Road shows up quite hot. And then we see even Lincoln Avenue going beneath I-69. So those are all locations that are, again, very much of interest to us, because that is where people are or people want to be outside of their vehicle. The next is showing bicycle trips. We see some similarity, and if you look at the mapping in the Trails Master Plan, you'll notice a lot of these corridors are identified for trails projects, and rightly so, because bicyclists and pedestrians absolutely want to use these corridors. Lincoln shows up again, Walnut's quite hot, and then we see the trail connecting to the overpass there on the east side of US 41. So again, not count information, but just a good estimate of what the demand is for bicyclists and pedestrians throughout the study area. I'm not going to dwell on the next few exhibits to any great extent, but just to kind of give you an idea of some of the work that we're doing right now is developing more comprehensive inventories of some of these corridors that I've talked about so far. Bakey Road is one that really stands out to us. You know, Bakey on the north side of the Lloyd Expressway, traffic volumes have declined quite a bit over the years. Now, it's a little bit different today because we've obviously got some maintenance of traffic going on with Stockwell and the Lloyd intersection, but north, based on the most recent counts available from NDOT, got less than 2,000 vehicles per day, but that's still a four-lane roadway with very few crosswalk opportunities to get from the residential area on the west side to get over to Wasserman. In fact, you've got one crosswalk. It's an unsignalized intersection at Iowa. So this is absolutely a candidate for us to consider something like a roadway reconfiguration project. The demand is not there to really justify four lanes, so let's think about ways that we can use that right-of-way a little bit better to better serve not just vehicles, but again, vulnerable road users as well. And this is just showing Bakey on the south side. Similarly, volumes are not as high as they once were. And in this section, we obviously have that transition where it's not all four lanes. It actually transitions to three lanes once you get south of the Lloyd. So these are locations for us. If we were not to come up with solutions or strategies to help address safety in this corridor, I would not feel like we're doing our job. In Green River Road, we talked about the heat of the crash history. There is an obvious another example of a corridor. We see now out there, as new development has infilled into some of those areas, we've got sporadic sidewalks, we've got limited sections with sidewalks. There's bus stops all up and down Green River Road. They're not all connected with sidewalks. So in some cases, you're having to walk in grass or walk in an adjacent business parking lot if you want to get from a bus stop to your destination, to a business, to the mall. So things like that really stand out to us. The volume of traffic's a little bit higher on Green River Road, of course. So roadway reconfiguration may not be an opportunity here, but we'll be absolutely looking at other strategies to help address the mobility issues affecting people trying to travel Green River Road. So this is a couple of examples of some of the inventories that we've been working on. And you'll see as we work towards our draft report, ultimately you're going to see information like that documented in the report, not just for it's helping us develop concepts as we move forward into the next phase. It's also helping document and justify why these candidate solutions we think are the right idea. In terms of our study schedule, you know, I've talked a lot about public engagement and what have you. So lots of opportunities between now and February, but that's really our ultimate goal is a draft report by February of next year, and then wrapping up the study in March of next year. So you may be asking yourself, as I've been talking today, what can I do to help? Hey, we would love for you to help us spread the word. I mentioned the press release that's out there, but this first round of public engagement, it's not going to be just one day or 2 days. We're going to leave the information out on the website for quite some time. But over the weeks after July 22nd, we'd love to get as much input as we can. Because we'll be having lots of internal meetings, meetings with other stakeholders, and meetings back with the study team as we start to look at the development of concepts. And this input's critical. We really need input from the public to make sure we're on the right page. There will also be some future listening sessions. So we are going to have essentially kind of like office hours throughout the study area. Well, we will be available to meet with the public one-on-one, have a lot of the same types of information available to share and to listen and get their input. I'm going to skip ahead just really quickly. I know I'm way over time, but we talked about the NDOT complete streets policy. We all know Evansville's got a complete streets policy. And I think, again, lots of synergy between things that we're going to be ultimately proposing here and that are already documented and have been discussed as part of the development and adoption of those complete streets policy. And I think one of the most critical aspects of what we're going to be doing, though, is that there is absolutely never a one-size-fits-all approach to a corridor. And so when you, and that's kind of what is spelled out in that second bullet on the slide. But if you move ahead here and just talk about some of the types of ideas that are, you know, might be considered here, these just give you some of those, right? So it's not just one opportunity or one option. It's really a smorgasbord, if you will. So we've got a menu of different ideas here, and this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg of some of those. So with that, again, I apologize. I talked way longer than I should have today, but I certainly, it's hard to hide my excitement on a study like this because I think it's really foundational, and I think it's going to be such an opportunity for the community to improve safety for everybody. So thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
That's excellent. I'd like to add something.
Absolutely.
For those people who think this is about, you know, an afternoon bike ride, Evansville has 20%, nearly 20% poverty, according to the Census Bureau, and particularly young people, working age young people who we don't want sitting on a basement couch playing video games, we want them at work, don't have reliable transportation. And these kinds of things are what get those young people to work. So it is very important to our economic development to have non-motorized transportation, particularly for 16 to 25 year olds to get where they need to go, to get a job and get to work and build their careers.
Yeah, we love the choice users that are out there exercising and using these, you know, active transportation, but, you know, we are absolutely not focused on them solely. This is about everybody, and absolutely correct. You hit it nail on the head that we have a sizable portion of our community do not have travel alternatives. They don't have options that include a vehicle of their own. So this is absolutely about helping them in the future. All right, thank you.
Wonderful. Any public comments or questions for anyone regarding the agenda today? Well, I just wanted to mention that we will certainly, as far as the Trails Coalition, be spreading the word and sharing to all of our coalition and Trailblazer members. So we'll do what we can to get the word out as well.
Thank you.
And then we don't have any public comments. Our upcoming dates are September 11th and November 13th. If you all want to hang around for another 10 minutes, I think this is a record-breaking meeting for me and my attendance in all the years that I've been a part of this committee. It's been a great meeting today, but if we want to have a motion to adjourn, floor is open.
Steve Raleigh, keep it going. Motion to adjourn.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for a wonderful meeting, and we look forward to seeing you at one of the public meetings coming up. Have a good day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.